Child tax credit money's coming in. How's it being spent? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Today, most households with kids will get a bank deposit for the second round of the Advanced Child Tax Credit. It's a monthly deposit of up to $300 per child, depending on their age and household income. New numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau are letting us see how families are spending their deposits, at least how they did in July. Here's Marketplace's Amanda Peacher.
Ask India Villar how she spent her $300 from the first child tax credit deposit last month.
Groceries.
Villar is a working mom in Allen, Texas. She has a 2-year-old daughter and a baby on the way.
I am pregnant and I eat like a teenage boy. We needed more food, so it worked out perfectly.
The census data show the top things families spent the money on were necessities: food, clothing, utilities. Natalie Foster with the nonprofit Economic Security Project says that shows the child credit is working.
You know, we know that families with children were especially stretched thin this last year. This data demonstrates that families are using their child tax credit payments to pay their bills, to buy groceries, and to get their kids ready for school.
But it is a costly program. The first round of payments cost the government $15 billion, and the credit's future is uncertain. President Biden wants it to continue, funded in part through corporate tax increases. For now, the monthly deposits go through December. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
China is grappling with several high-profile incidents of sexual assault. They've touched both China's corporate world and celebrity entertainment icons. One of the most dramatic cases involves Chris Wu, a popular Canadian Chinese singer with more than 50 million followers on social media. Within days, Wu's star power evaporated following allegations of sexual assault. Our China correspondent Jennifer Pack says the fallout has been extraordinary, and she joins us now. And just to let you know, this interview does contain discussion of sexual assault. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, Sabri.
So who is Chris Wu?
So he's a Chinese-Canadian singer, and he got famous after joining a Korean pop band called EXO. But he really hit it big when he went solo. He's got 50 million-plus followers on the social media platform called Weibo. That is, until he got accused of sexual assault.
Right. What is the allegation?
So last month, a young woman came forward to say she was lured by Wu's management company with the prospect of being in his music video. She turned up to the meeting, she says, was forced to drink until she passed out, and then woke up naked next to Wu. Then other young women came forward with very similar stories. Now, Wu denies all of this, but then at the end of July, the police detained him on suspicion of rape.
What has been the economic fallout?
It's been a total collapse because in China, if you're a celebrity, you have to have a clean image. And even before his arrest, big brands like Louis Vuitton, Porsche, and Bulgari dropped their endorsement deals with Wu. And now his social media accounts, his songs, his TV episodes, they've all been scrubbed from the internet.
You've got some other high-profile cases of sexual misconduct and assault in corporate China, Alibaba, for example. In the news there. Is China having its version of a Me Too moment?
In a way, yes. But sadly, I'm seeing more discussion about, say, the bad drinking culture, rather than how this country really wants to address sexual assault and sexual harassment.
Jennifer Pack, Marketplace's China correspondent, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sabri.
Disney released its quarterly results yesterday afternoon, and Marvel, which it owns, continues to be a big moneymaker for the company. The superhero series Loki helped the company's Disney Plus streaming service reach 116 million subscribers by the end of June. Now, fans of Marvel characters often feel very strongly about them, dressing up, going to comic conferences, debating online. But Black fans of comics haven't always been or felt included in that world. And as Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports, that presents an opportunity.
Bea Law grew up in a Black Baptist household in North Carolina. She was into anime and comic books and fantasy. Her family wasn't. Once she saved up her money to buy the first book in the Harry Potter series.
And my mom found it. And this was during the time where churches were like, it's witchcraft. So she destroyed my book.
Law says that was hard, and back then, she wished she knew more people who were into the same things. Now, as an adult, she's created Quirk Chat. It's an app to build communities for nerding out. Users make videos where they talk about anime, video games, even horror films.
So your ghoul loves a good witch movie, but in your opinion, which witch movie is good to watch?
Asking this kind of simple question, Law says, brings fans together.
People want to feel that other people feel what they're feeling in certain moments.
Quirk Chat launched this spring and attracted $750,000 in funding and 40,000 users. A big draw, Law says, is the app is committed to being a safe space for women and people of color. That's not something the internet or geek culture is known for. Catherine Finney runs the venture platform Genius Guild. She's an investor in Quirk Chat and said she didn't realize the opportunity that existed in geek culture until she went to a comic book convention.
I saw people for whom this was what they primarily spend their disposable income on.
Finney is Black. She also identifies as a geek and says for a long time, the comic world wasn't that welcoming to Black people, especially when it came to portraying characters.
You know, you couldn't play certain characters unless they were directly identified with your race. And you can imagine how limiting that was because there weren't that many Black characters to play.
The phenomenal success of movies like Disney's Black Panther is changing that, says John Jennings. He's an artist and professor at the University of California, Riverside.
And I think if people can get past, you know, their quote unquote differences, then they'll see like just a whole new world. And, you know, we'll capitalize on it because that's what we do.
And Jennings says the growing Black nerd fan base means there's a lot of opportunity to capitalize. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.